everyone, and welcome back to Demon Slayer Chronicles. Well, today we're diving into episode 9 of the Entertainment District arc, titled Defeating an Upper-Ranked Demon, which, Dylan, that doesn't happen in this episode.
No, yeah, why
did they end
it that?
I mean, I know you all just watched this, you're listening to a recap, so obviously this is spoilers. The exact opposite looks like it happened in this episode, unless you saw something I saw different.
No, they could have named any of the episodes before this Defeating an Upper-Ranked Demon, and it would have been the same. Okay, why name the previous one Gathering? If there's no actual gathering, you could have just named it Defeating an Upper-Ranked Demon, because you're not even defeating an Upper-Ranked Demon.
They're trying to get it ahead. I mean, because sometimes episode titles do spoil what happens in the episode.
That's
I mean,
true.
I will give that. So they're trying to throw us off and think the last two episodes of the season are something else. Well, plot twist. Everyone's almost dead. I'll get to the recap in just a second here, but that's kind of where we're ending this episode. A lot of other really cool things to talk about. We'll get to talk more about the backstory of Uzui and his wives, Tanjiro finally kind of getting his own style, and more. But let's jump into that recap super, super quick before we do that. So it actually does start off with just Uzui and his wives talking. We kind of get to see them, how they interact outside of everything kind of during a time of peace before a lot of this happened. And again, giving Uzui a little bit more backstory, fleshing it out, making us care about him and his wives a little better, because those definitely aren't red flags of death. And then it goes back, continuing the fight a little bit. We do see that Gutaro does have these tornado arms, pretty much, of blood that does push back Uzui and Tanjiro. And then we actually do jump right back to the wives after that interaction. We're pretty much saying that they all want to redeem themselves. They want to defeat an upper-ranked demon and then just go on and live their lives as civilians. That they've killed too many to really just do that now, so they have to do one last thing. Again, not death flags at all. But the fights continue as things start to get worse from both sides. We do see Zenitsu and Inosuke kind of fight off Daki a little more, with Tanjiro being in and out of that fight as well. And it eventually gets to a point, actually, where Inosuke gets stabbed in the back by Kiyotaro, because Uzui looks like he's down. He has lost a hand. Now Inosuke is down. And right at the very end of the episode, Daki puts off a giant fight where we see Zenitsu and kind of Tanjiro falling off of an exploding roof, pretty much looking like everyone's dead. So a little bit more in depth of fight scenes. Obviously, a lot of very cool moments happen in between there that we'll dive more into. But again, I think we just kind of combine those two wives moments and talk about Uzui and his wives at the beginning of the episode again, just like we did last time. And again, I think we're going to have a lot of the same things to say as last time, but how are you feeling now? Do you kind of agree with your theory from last episode that a wife's going to die still?
Yes. So here's my grand idea for this, because it all connects. So when we had the backstories, they were all together. Wow, I can't believe that him and his wives, they all just love each other so much, and they're so cute together. And then they have this thing of where they have to redeem themselves as shinobi because everything was so bad. And, you know, maybe after they redeem themselves, they can live a normal life. But you know what is a major death flag? Saying after all this, we're going to live a normal life. And we see Uzui missing an arm who looks dead. That's an anti-death flag, obviously, right there. So he's not going to die. And so going back to my original theory I said last episode, one of his wives is going to give their lives to save Uzui and to save everyone else. And Uzui's going to have to, you know, push past the feeling of wanting to save one of his wives to save everybody's lives. It can't be more clear to me now. It cannot be more clear to me.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why you're doubling down. I mean, spending, what, 5-6 minutes of the entire episode on just interactions with him and his wives are major death flags, especially in the middle of the end of the arc fight scenes. Definitely says, like, okay,
yes,
something's going to happen. We're not going to tell you what's going to happen. Something's going to happen. So really, at this point, it's kind of figuring out. I kind of agree with it. Obviously, Uzui isn't going to die off scene. Oh, Hashira's not going to die off scene. He lost his hand. It's going to be a harder fight for him. We will see him again. I mean, we got to make that assumption just watching as much anime as we do. But it is interesting to see what has happened with the wife. We really only see one wife involved. So, I think she's obviously almost died a couple of times and hadn't been saved. So, I think a lot of that is kind of adding up there too. But I think really the highlight of the episode, kind of going back to the main character for the first time, who I feel like we didn't talk about it all last episode. He finally figured out how to combine his breathing styles. I mean, he kind of made it seem like it was kind of super obvious. I think it's interesting of like kind of a Deku moment from My Hero where it's like, oh, instead of punching, let's kick. And then his realization is instead of using it all the time, let's only use it right as I'm about to hit. I mean, it's a little bit more in-depth and a little smarter of a realization, but it's still super cool kind of seeing that's going to be Tanjiro's big jump, and we still have two episodes left to kind of see how that comes to fruition.
Yeah, so here's my two takes. So either one, I think that Tanjiro is going to go down the the Avatar The Last Airbender route, and he's going to learn a bunch of different techniques from a bunch of different people and be able to use them at his disposal, become like a really good swordsman. Or these are the two that he's going to learn, and he's going to combine them into one unique breathing style, because he alludes to that. I don't know if it was this one or last episode. I don't remember exactly which episode. One of these episodes, he talks about how everyone has these breathing styles, but they're all a little bit different for them. So they all fall into a category, but they're a little bit different.
That was this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like fire breathing and sub breathing. Like there's all these are related to fire breathing. So for his, I think I actually have two speculations that he combines these into his own unique style. So one is steam breathing, because it's fire and it's water. It's steam breathing. It makes sense. Or the one that I can't rationalize why, except that it just fits the theming of his character so much. It's ash breathing, because his whole thing is around coal and ash, and like that's the type of fire that his family represents, because his family isn't like fire in the sense of a big hot burning thing. They emphasize like on the coal a lot, and then maybe all the ash that it leaves behind. So I could absolutely see that being like his special form. Also, it would be really cool to just pull out like an ash breathing. I don't even know what it would look like, but it'd be sick.
I mean, I like both the names. Steam was the first one I came to my head too when
it's obvious, combined. Right?
But I mean, the fighting style does already kind of have a name. I mean, it's the Hinokami Kagura is something that he's kind of called it before. That's what he calls his flame breathing. And when he does flame breathing, he's doing that dance that he learned from his dad. So I can't see him changing it up. I think it'd be really cool if it did kind of become one. I'm guessing it's just going to be continue to call the same thing. He just uses it less often and only uses it right as he needs to. But I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see where it goes. Obviously, it's a power-up, so a new name change would kind of make sense for it going forward, honestly. But I think also with so many people not knowing what flame breathing is, I don't think adding another breathing style makes a ton of sense. I guess Nosuke has beast breathing, which is completely unique to him. So it wouldn't be the first time in the series we've seen a unique breathing style. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. Nonetheless, it is still just very, very fucking cool.
Well, we actually don't know how much of this is unique and what's not. So we know for a fact water breathing is not unique. We know that fire breathing is not unique.
But lightning isn't unique.
Oh, who else had lightning?
Well, he learned from his grandpa. I'm assuming his grandpa was a master of it.
Yeah, I forgot. Okay, so I guess just beast breathing and then some of the Hashira breathing, but like those are probably not ultra unique.
True, like I think it was mist, rock,
wind.
I forget what the snake guy is. I think it's poison. No,
yeah, Asui is sound breathe. Is sound right? Is his thing.
So yeah, I guess it is true, because like assuming no more Hashira dies, obviously he's not going to take over fire breathing. So if Tanjiro, the main character, was to ever kind of level up and become a Hashira, that'd mean more death would have to happen, or he'd have to become a Hashira of his own kind. So that's where a steam breathing and ash breathing kind of makes sense rather than flame breathing, because that just seems the same as fire in a lot of the eyes of it. So maybe take it back. Maybe kind of combining in him coming up with his own does kind of make sense for him, so that he can take that next step into it.
It's really cool, though. I really like it. I wonder. So they talked about how flame breathing, like the hotter that your body is, the easier it is to do, because he had the fever and it was really good. So I wonder if there is going to be like a body temperature control thing of where he wants to purposely make his body run hot for the fire. But like maybe there is something with water breathing that can kind of cool him down and he can do like the ebb and flow of that. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm really interested to see like what the evolution of this breathing is going to be, because they focus a lot on like kind of grounding it. Like, okay, they're abilities, they're obviously, but they're all grounded in breathing techniques. So I wonder if they're going to go into the depth of like, how does breathing these two different things interact with each other, rather than, you know, one is just easier to do until I'm about to hit, and then I'm going to use the hit one, the one that's strong to hit, you know?
Yeah, that makes a bit sense. I think it's something that, well, you might see him make jumps in it during the next two episodes, kind of during the fight, but that would definitely be a season three thing, as it kind of, as you all see, there's always a recovery arc, because obviously they're humans versus demons, so there's going to be a recovery arc, and that'd be the great thing to kind of learn next time. We've seen him learn a breathing style, we've seen him learn to control his temperature last time, and now next time he learns how to combine it all into one. Wouldn't make a lot of sense for that to be the next recovery arc. So exciting to kind of see where that goes.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting that, like, the recovery arc just to be about his new breathing stuff.
Yeah, and then Inosuke and Zenitsu just getting ignored again, kind of like last time. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but something I know you wanted to talk about actually was Zenitsu and Inosuke's fight from this episode.
So going off of that, I have so many questions. One, I do like seeing them fight together, especially when all three of them, the main three, they finally kind of reunite, because they never actually reunited until just now.
They've never all fought together as a group, really.
Yeah, and now we have the first time they're all fighting as a group together against the one of the two demons that is the weaker one, so it makes sense. But it's so cool to see them fight together. I just have so many questions. Zenitsu, okay, what's going on with the sleep? Okay, so I can't tell if they're just like, his gimmick was he's asleep and he's not nervous when he's asleep, so we're going to run with it. Or is there something deeper going on here? Like, is there actually something more to this? Or is he literally just asleep and he's better when he's fighting asleep? So that's question number one. Question number two I have, Inosuke did not have to behead her that violently. Very cool, but I was like watching like a lively beheading video for a second where he's just like sawing her head off. Insanely like, scary stuff. Number three, how do they get stronger with Tanjiro? Because like, if he's supposed to keep getting stronger, and like his obvious progression, right? I think his very obvious progression is becoming a Shira one day and defeating Muzan. Like that's the obvious state of the shonen. But do they get just as strong with him? Like, are they going to reach his Shira levels, or are they forever going to be like mid-level fighters? But if they're mid-level fighters, then they just become useless eventually. So I was like thinking about that, of like, do they all kind of get the same power together? Because it's really hard to think like that when Tanjiro's getting these abilities that he's mixing and he's doing two different types of breathing. And like, some of his abilities are like incredibly strong from like his family line. And then you have these two other who are incredibly strong, and Inosuke and Zenitsu are probably around Tanjiro's level right now in terms of skill, like maybe a little bit below, but they're basically the same. Do they stay the same with Tanjiro, or do they just kind of fall to the wayside? I mean, that's what I was thinking about during this fight, at least.
And I think that's the one that I want to take out all the couple of questions. I think a couple more were funny, but I think going back to the very first time where Gyutaro came out and how he was talking to Zui about how jealous he was of him, how you must have always had power, and how you have all the ladies and all that kind of stuff over you, and that got Zui mad, saying, you know nothing about the world anymore. Like that, I've worked so hard for everything that I have there, but there are people that can pick up a sword and become a Shira in months. Or have unique stuff. So I think we've seen, like, they showed the mist and they showed the rock Hashira when talking about kind of these two prodigies. So, I mean, obviously, someone can still become a Hashira without godlike talents. I mean, Rengoku was just a very strong master of the flame. So I think we've seen also of what a normal kind of Demon Slayer fighter looks like when we saw at the spiders of how they're completely fucking useless. So already compared to the general army, Inosuke and Zenitsu are already kind of at a Hashira level, it seems like, and they're on track for that. So I agree, kind of getting down to the point of where they kind of do it. Maybe Zenitsu can finally fight awake. That allows him to use more muscles. Inosuke, God knows how. But I think, one, they don't have to have a big as of jump as Tanjiro to still be better than 99.5% of the Demon Slayer card, because everyone else seems useless.
I guess we never see anybody's skill level that isn't the Hashira, because we see the grunts who literally don't have faces, and then we see the gods, the Hashira, the top gods, but we don't see anything in between. So yeah, like, it is, maybe that even is like a bonus to it too, of where you can totally flex in that zone, and you don't have to compare your power level to like a bunch of other random characters, because our main three are already stronger than the grunts, but we know that they're incredibly below this year at this point. Like, they're still super low.
We've learned that these two demons have killed like what, 17 combined Hashira? Like,
Hashira, oh yeah, that's right.
Hashira come and go pretty quickly, and we have no idea what the requirements are to be one. I mean, maybe since maybe they could all become Hashira next season because they were part in taking down an upper six one. Maybe you just have to survive a mission where you do face-to-face combat with an upper six moon and you become a Hashira because you see how goddamn hard it is just to live, because we've already seen one Hashira die to that, and these guys killed 17. Like, we have no idea what that requirement process is, and there's like 18 Hashira right now. What's the difference between two or three more? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we also don't know how long that was, too, because demons don't have the same lifespan.
Yeah, so it was like, hundreds of years is what it is that we kind of got towards.
Yeah, and so but if still, it's like...
That's a lot.
It is a lot, but if you're killing, like, one every 10 years, like, the idea that a group of people who are fighting in, like, a forever war against some of the most powerful demons in existence are, like, doing a full cycle over every, like, 10 or 20 years... That's like not that unreasonable though, and that's not really that quick because you have people dying every couple years, right?
Yeah, I think years have passed since all this started. I mean, I think they're a couple years into their journey already. I forget exactly how big the recovery arc is here, but it's at least I think they've been fighting for 2 or 3 years throughout all the recovery arcs and shit.
I mean, we did have two
it takes
big ones
months at a time. I mean, they're resting for months, and then there was a training montage on top of that where they're all going off and doing their own missions. I think there is an exact timetable of how long some of this has taken. Like, I'm gonna Google it really quickly kind of as we're talking.
Wait, if this has been like a couple years, then that means like if you compare the timeline to what they're doing, then we're probably at the lowest amount of people dying in the Demon Slayer Corps Hashira wise at least ever, because we only had one die.
Well, that we know of. All the Hashira are off doing their own things. They're not going to send out a crow
that,
every time.
They're
not going to send out a crow every time a Hashira dies. That's a lot of crows going around.
Don't say. Okay. If we go back and there's three Hashira that have died in the background, I'm going to be so pissed. Yeah, I don't know.
And you got to remember, he was in the woods for like a year or two at the very beginning training. And
well,
episodes. I know, but that was like five episodes. So you just got to think, like, they do time jumps here all the time. So, like,
yeah,
I'm kind of reading through something of, like, where people are kind of guessing. But, yeah, I'm looking like 4 to 5 months. Yeah, they spend a lot of time at the Butterfly Mansion.
1 year max. No, maybe 2 years max. But still, 2 years is actually kind of crazy amount of time.
Yeah. A lot of shit happens off camera that we don't see.
I
think they become a Hashira. I think there's a good chance they become a Hashira quickly. Because they've lasted this long.
Okay, so what happens next, though? Because, like, right now, things
are
bad. In the episode, Andrew. Like,
we're talking big picture here.
No, going back to the episode, though. So we see Asubi has a missing arm, which my initial gut reaction is that he did it himself. They're going to go back and they're going to show us like, oh, he extra poisoned his hand and he cut off his arm to make sure it doesn't spread or something like that. Inosuke got stabbed in the back, which I have legitimately no idea how they turn that around, because they're supposed to be poisoned and he stabbed him right in the back with the like, I have no idea how they turn that around, because it's not like. It's not like the camera angle was from the front of where, oh, it could have been a stab, but we don't really know. He very clearly just put the thing in his back. And on top of that, Zenitsu's gone. We don't know where he's at. Tanjiro, at this point, his hand is just tied to his sword. He can't even hold it. It's just tied to his sword. Where's the wives? What's going on? How do they finish the fight? How does any of this wrap up?
If only you knew.
So this one, we're recording in a batch, and this is the last one of this batch, and I'm losing my mind right now, because it is like one of the only ones that's a dramatic cliffhanger, at least, in the last couple.
Yeah. I am saying no more than that. If only you knew how they make it happen.
See,
It gets good. I mean, the next two, there's two more episodes and things seem dire with two episodes left to go for a reason.
Yeah, and the thing is with Demon Slayer is they're able to do crazy stuff because, like, just think about what happened in the movie where the entire thing is like, oh, here's this one fight that you're doing, one fight. And then in the last 20 minutes, they're like, what if this crazy thing that you never would have predicted comes out of the left field? And so, like, I'm expecting everything to happen here. Like,
Muzan
I'm expecting
could show up and kill all of them.
Yes, I'm expecting Muzan to show up randomly. I'm expecting the Demon Slayer Corp's main dude just to show up and save every. Like, anything could happen at this point, I think. I don't know. It's going to be good. I'm excited. I just want to watch more of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of almost the best kind of note to leave it on is that shit's rough. And how the hell are they going to pull this back is really what the big questions are of this episode and really, really best place to leave it. And the nice part is we only have two episodes left. This is all wrapping up quick. It's gone by quickly. We had a couple wrap-up episodes. We've only had two or three really fighting episodes. Now we have two episodes left.
Do we, at this time, in August of 2022, do we have any indication of when the next season or anything is going to drop?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think we do, actually.
Yeah, because I don't think they announced any movie or anything, so the next thing should just be season three. So the last season started in winter and it went into spring. So I wonder if the next one starts in spring of 2023. Because I know
they
we did
got like a teaser trailer. We don't have anything else for it yet.
Yeah, because I think they announced the arc that it happens. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm even more excited for season three now. I hope we get it kind of soon. I hope it's just 2023. We don't have to wait longer, but. Everything's been coming out pretty quickly, at least since it originally premiered, because between season one and the movie wasn't that long. It was a bit of a time. It was about a year, but it wasn't that long. And then obviously movie leading into this season was just the thing.
You want to know something fun? Show will be wrapped up in 5 years.
Wow.
Within 5 years, the show will be wrapped, especially if it launches next year. I think there might only be, I think my guess, 4 seasons total. Having read everything. That there's season three, then season four.
Do you think
maybe
there's gonna be movies?
Maybe a two-part season four. No more movies.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
unless
interesting.
They do the finale as a movie, which I think would be bad for anime.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I mean, wow. Because that is pretty crazy because you think about something like My Hero, which
going on
is
to season six, and we're not close.
Years. Yeah, it's going to be like 10 years at that. Well, I know it's 10 years since the manga came out. I think the entire show will be shorter than 10 years from when
probably
it aired.
Seven. I still think it's been 6 years probably since that at least aired for the first time. It was when I was in college. I started college 7 years ago or whatever. And we started doing it like right at the end of like season one or season two, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so that has already been going longer than Demon Slayer probably will take the air. So like that just further emphasizes how quick this is. It is wild. Not just a quick show, but the series is very short. Like the manga,
you could
blaze right through the manga.
I read I think it's only 100 and something chapters, maybe it gets to 200. Yeah, I cruised through all of it like in 2 days.
For shonen, that is like I actually can't think of any that are that short.
Yeah, it is one of the shortest. So again, enjoy the cliffhangers where you can, enjoy the episode, enjoy every minute of the fight because it will go by fast. But thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Demon Slayer Chronicles. We'll be back to you soon with the next episode, which will be kind of getting close to wrapping up everything. So hopefully they can turn it around. But thank you all for watching. Go to youtube.com/class1apodcast for all the videos. And then go over to twitter.com/class1apod to stay up to date with everything that we do podcast related, My Hero and Demon Slayer. Thank you all.